And blacks from the South, at the same time the boll weevil was destroying the cotton crop and farm jobs were disappearing, and so blacks were moving in large numbers north to industrial cities. And East St. Louis was an industrial city, and there were inevitable clashes between blacks and whites that took place over these jobs, and it just evolved into a riot that took place in July of that year, July of 1917. The night of July 1st, a Model T Ford, a black Model T Ford, drove through a black neighborhood, people shooting out of the windows. An hour later, a black Model T Ford moved through a black neighborhood with people shooting out of the windows. No one was killed, but the third time a black Model T Ford went through a black neighborhood with people shooting out of the windows, blacks had assembled, young black men had assembled with guns, and they shot back, and two police detectives were killed, and that triggered the riot, and then all chaos broke out the next morning. It started out, as riots often do, with fist fights in the streets and so forth, but they quickly escalated. And one of the reasons they escalated was that there was a central mob of men who probably had been in the bars drinking all night, which you could do in East St. Louis in those days. But soon there were terrible atrocities. Black men were hung from telephone poles in downtown streets. One man's scalp was ripped loose. A mother and her baby were shot as they were trying to escape from a burning building. Much of the downtown area was burned down. As I believe I said, 48 people were killed, 39 of them black, and at least three of the white people that were killed accidentally by other white people. And finally the National Guard came in and restored peace, but by that time much of the city was just devastated. The mayor instructed, did not want a record of this, and did not want East St. Louis to be known as the place of this terrible riot. And the mayor instructed the police to confiscate cameras and destroy film. And so very few photographs actually emerged from the riot. And some of those that did, in fact, all of those that did, as far as I was able to determine, were thrown away when one of the newspapers cleaned out its reference library in the 20s. So the imagery, it comes mainly from drawings in newspapers, which there were several of those. I suppose the thing I learned that stuck with me most strongly in writing the book was the fact that the civil rights movement did not begin in the 1950s with decision in the Topeka school system case. That it began the day after slavery ended and persists until this day. And that in the period of World War One, I don't think I was aware, and I know most people I talked to were not aware, and I'm talking about educated people, that America erupted in these race riots across the country in 1917, 1918, 1919, and 1919 was known as the Red Summer of 1919. The Chicago race riot was the worst of many that took place that summer. What made the riot different is that it was the first and probably the deadliest of two dozen riots that took place in the World War I period. And it was the first one, it was probably the deadliest one, and it sort of set the pattern for those that followed. Whites would attack blacks, accuse them of taking their jobs. In some cases, white industrialists were in part guilty for flooding the market with blacks. They were advertising in southern newspapers of job help wanted, and when there were no jobs at all, so that they would have a large pool of workers to draw from to defeat, so the unions could not organize against them. But I think it was the first, and it set the pattern. And it was followed by what I consider to be the first major civil rights demonstration. There was a march 2 weeks after the riot, in mid-July of 1917. There was 8 to 10,000 people marched down Fifth Avenue from Harlem to the middle of the town, middle of New York, to protest the East St. Louis race riot and to protest racism across America. But the East St. Louis race riot was the spark for the first civil rights march. I think what I want a reader to take away from the book is that it ain't over. And I just think that we need to be conscious, very conscious, and not forget that this was our racial history, and it all grew out of slavery. That was a deadly legacy of slavery. And we still see its results around us.